I want to greet each of you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome you here. Welcome visitors. I know there's some here. I forget faces over the years, but I believe someone might have came down from Maine. I'm not sure, but some of the Hildy girls are here. We welcome everyone here this morning. I desire your prayers this morning, probably more than normal. In fact, I know more than normal. I caught myself this morning. I come up here and sat down, and I looked back to catch my wife's eye, and I should have known. I did know. She wasn't here, but I did it out of habit. She would normally be there around where my sister Judy is. And so if I'm not all here this morning, well, I'm really not. I'm not sure what's going on in our lives, but I do ask you to pray for my wife. She hasn't been herself. She hasn't felt normal. She hasn't felt right for months, and it's getting wearisome for her. She needs your encouragement along with your prayers. That's my request for you to you this morning. Psalm chapter 121 is where we want to take some thoughts from this morning. And I would give these thoughts a title, this chapter a title. I would simply say, the Lord is our keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is your keeper. You read a variation of that word three times in this short psalm, and you also read the word preserveth, or preserve, forms of that word three times. And that word preserve here in this scripture, it really means keep. And the word keepeth that we have here, and keeper, is really talking about protection, being kept, being protected. And so we have this theme very heavy in these short eight verses of scripture here in Psalm 121. The Lord is thy keeper. Appreciated George's comment there, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Sometimes we think when we look to the hills or the mountains, we're looking to the Lord. We're looking to his holy temple, possibly. We're looking to Mount Zion, and we're actually thinking of God's presence. But like Brother George said, there many read it differently than that, going back to the original. And it's more of a question thing, and it's more like two questions here. The first one would be, shall I lift up my eyes to the hills? You know, do I dare lift up my eyes to the hills? There's trouble there. It's going to be problems. And then the second question would come, from where is my help to come? If I'm going to look to the hills, if I'm going to take a journey and encounter difficulty and danger and hardship, who am I going to get my help from, if that's the case? And so we could read it from the original, shall I lift up my eyes to the hills? And if so, from where does my help come? So does my help come from the hills themselves? Does my help come from the mountains? The word really means mountains. Can I hide in the earth? Will the creation help me when I have trouble? Will the powerful men on earth, will the kings, will the presidents, will the congresses come to my aid and give me my help? Will Obamacare help me? Can I depend on, can I trust in these earthly powers, these earthly personalities, these individuals? Certainly not. Jeremiah 3, verse 23 makes it plain, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills or from the mountains or from princes, from the powers that are on earth. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel, Jeremiah declares there in chapter 3. Verse 2, the psalmist very quickly gives the only answer to the question in verse 1. From where does my help come? He answers very straightforward. There's only one answer, and he gives it, my help cometh from the Lord. That's the answer. There's no variation to it. There's no alternative, no substitute. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes above and beyond the mountains, beyond the hills, beyond the creation, to the Creator. And then I'll have a source of help. I need to look beyond. I need to look far enough. Our view is too short, way too often. My view is too short, way too often. When I need help, and I need it desperately, I need it for a loved one, we need to look far. We need to look to our God, who is actually very near, a very present help in time of need. My desire this morning is in this psalm that, and these verses and these comments might be an encouragement to each one of you. I don't know what you're going through. Some of you have brought difficulties and heartaches out of 2012. Some will pick new heartaches and difficulties up in this new year. But as we plow on through this year that we're already almost a half a month into, I want us to be encouraged in this psalm to know and to expect and to desire help from an unfailing source, our God in heaven. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'll lift up my eyes and I'll look right beyond the creation to the Creator. And I'll be looking for to my help. David knew only the Lord could keep him. He had enemies that were trying to kill him. King Saul was out to get him. He knew he could not trust in the mountains to hide him. And David knew he could not trust in the men around him to really protect him. David knew that only the Lord God could keep him, as often there was only a step between him and death. And he realized that there were shortcomings and there were cracks in the armor, his earthly armor, his earthly defense. He knew that he was going to meet death without God's protection. We need to cry to the Lord, my help cometh from the Lord. My help is in the Lord. It is in his power. It is in his providence. Brothers and sisters, our help is in the goodness of the Lord, because he is good. God is good. The Lord is good, and he is our helper. And he is very, very concerned about your trouble, about your danger, about your anxiety, about your things you worry about, the things that have robbed you of peace. And we can spiritually, if the anxiety and the worry stay there in the place of peace. God is very concerned about that. And he is desiring to offer his resources. Our help is in the Lord, in his power, in his providence, in his goodness, in his mercy, in his grace. His grace is far-reaching this morning, brothers and sisters. Far-reaching. The humble receive it, and the proud forfeit it. We must expect his help. We must desire his help. Although this morning I want to make it clear, not according to our blueprint. Not according to our exact expectations, and not according to our timing. And as God gives grace for us to handle and to accept his design and his answers and his timing, it will make the difference between you and I submitting and yielding and actually having peace. On one hand, having that, or the other hand, turning bitter because we think we know better than God. And we are putting demands on God that he answer according to our wishes, according to our blueprint, and according to our time. It's time now, Lord. Lord, I've waited long enough. But that puts us on the verge of bitterness and a great fall. Our help is in the Lord. It is in his hands. It is in his design to bring our help according to his perfect timing. He's not late. And he never will be. The shape and the form and the time, God knows best. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, the verse there says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We, you and I, are the clay. And thou art potter. And we all are the work of thy hands." And yes, brothers and sisters, it's painful. Being reshaped, being remolded, taking the ugly lumps out of our lives. When the master works and chips away, he's forming something that he wants to make beautiful and very usable, useful in his service and his kingdom. But in order to get us from here to there, it's a chipping away process. It's a cutting away, and it hurts. And sometimes we think the very life is being squeezed out of us. But it's for our eternal good. It's for our good. Because it's coming from a good God. We need to be pliable. And the more pliable we are, the less it'll hurt. In the hands of a loving God, who may have to cause some pain. I have a strong feeling that many of us can apply our lives to these thoughts. God is at work in your life and in my life. You don't even always know where he's leading you. You don't even always know why he's doing it. Lord, I don't know what's going on. And we are utterly confused at times, brothers and sisters, and we have to admit it. Our plans don't look too sure because of difficulties. Engagements in the future, we're not sure about them. Because we're waiting on God's touch. And in the time like this, we need to cry out to God to keep us in the faith, to keep us strong, and to keep us trusting in his providence, in his goodness. The providence and the goodness and the grace of a sovereign God. We can ask, "Lord, why?" And please show me, Lord. I believe we can do that. But we can't question and go toward the bitter side and get angry with God. The sufferer, the one who is going through danger and difficulty and pain, the sufferer who allows God to be the architect of the rescue plan, will experience the deep peace of God, which surpasses human comprehension, human understanding. The sufferer who allows God to be God, allows God to be the potter, and remembers that the clay has no right to say to the potter, "Why are you doing this? Why are you making me this way? I don't like what you're doing." God forbid that we would react that way. Verse 2 continues and says, which maketh heaven and earth. My help cometh from the Lord. And it's very significant that he adds in that verse a little description, a little reminder of who the Lord is. The one who made heaven and earth. We know from Genesis 1 that he made heaven and earth out of nothing. In other words, we get the clear picture here that nothing is too hard for God. God can do anything. He is bigger than any mountain, bigger than anything. God is bigger than the mountain that is blocking your view, and you haven't been able to see properly because of the hurt in your life. God is bigger than that, and He has the power to lift you up over it, to lift me up over it. He made heaven and earth. He has the ability to help you. He has the ability to help me. Though all others might call your situation helpless, and the world around you might say, well, you may as well give up on God. Job's wife actually told him, give up on God. This isn't worth it. This God we've been serving, this God we've been praying to, just forget it. Just curse that name that you always held high and die. That's what we're going to hear from the world. That it's not worth it. But we know our God is able. And our God is all powerful. You know what? At times God chooses doctors. And at times God chooses medicines to meet our needs. He does. God does not forbid us from going to doctors and from using medicines that He has provided. God is behind the ability, the wisdom of all that. And you and I just need to be very careful that the praise and the glory goes back to God where it all belongs. Back to God Almighty. All praise, worship, and God, and glory back to God. Verses 3 through 6 this morning. Here we have this theme, the Lord is thy keeper. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Storms, trials, dangers can make our footing all seem like shifting sand, and we're slipping and we're falling, our feet are moving, and we're not sure what's going on. It's like the whole earth is crumbling around us. All that we ever had strength in doesn't seem to be there. Our feet move and they slip. Well, the scripture here says, He will not suffer, He will not allow thy foot to slip, to move. We need to keep that connection, brothers and sisters, with the rock. With the unmovable, always abiding rock, Christ Jesus. All else is shifting sand and crumbling around us. We need that anchor, that secure anchor of the soul. And you're not going to find it apart from the relationship that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bear with me, and if you want to turn to 2 Samuel, I just have to read quite a few verses here. I love them, they're powerful. And I want us all to be able to resonate with these words, with the Spirit here in 2 Samuel 22. And I want us all, through the redemption of God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, in our lives, not only as Savior, but in our everyday struggles, to shout with victory in this declaration here in 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm going to start at verse 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. And this is David's song of deliverance. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Your enemies might be people. They might be authorities. Hopefully not, but that could happen. But your enemies might be physical ailments. They might be mental torment. Your enemies, you name it, whatever it is in your life. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub. He did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. All in the result of one of his dear children crying out to him. The Lord got a little excited in defense of one of his. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered. At the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Also, verse 32, For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? And also verse 47, the Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. My friend this morning, my brother, my sister, when all is shifting sand, there is a solid rock. There is an unmovable place for our feet, for our faith, for our trust. The God of heaven and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on there and says in verse 3 of Psalm 121, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. I like that account back there in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah just got a bit fed up with it. He was the only one who wanted to cry out the truth for his God. The only prophet. Meanwhile, the false prophet Baal had 450 clamoring that he was God. Elijah said, I'll tell you what. We're going to have us a little contest. And depending whose God answers from heaven with fire, we're going to be content to let him be God. And they prepared wood on an altar. They got a bullock, they got meat, and they placed it. They placed a burnt offering on there, but they made no fire. And Elijah said, you go ahead and go first. It's plenty of you, it's 450 of you. Go ahead, start talking to your God. And they did. From morning till noon. And at that point, they were getting all worked up. They were jumping up and down. They were cutting themselves. The Bible says, as their manner was. God's people don't have to do that. Elijah didn't have to jump up and down. No fire came when the prophets of Baal cried. And they pleaded. No fire came. How could it? From a dead God, from a false God. But when Elijah took his turn, fire came down from heaven. You know, in the meanwhile, Elijah ordered 12 barrels of water, poured on that burnt offering and on the wood, and there was a trench round about that filled up with water. And the Bible says when that fire came down from heaven, even the dust and all the water was gone. And people bowed their faces into the earth and said, this is the God of heaven, and we're going to worship him. The God that's taking care of you, the God that is coming to your help, does not slumber. You know what Elijah did during that contest around noon, after they cried for hours and hours and no fire came from Baal? He said, what's going on? What's wrong with your God? He must be quite busy. He took a trip. He's talking. Or maybe he fell asleep. Yeah, he was asleep. Forever asleep. And your God and mine is forever awake. You know, the Bible says he does not slumber. Not only does he not sleep, he does not slumber. He doesn't even get groggy. You know, sometimes I get groggy and I might be in the chair there in the living room and I'm groggy. And if an enemy would come in the door, I wouldn't be quite ready to deal with things. God is never that way. God is never groggy and then he wakes up, oh, my dear child just perished. He needed my help. That never happens. Now, you're in good hands. What was that, State Farm? You're in good hands? Well, you're in good hands with God. You're in good hands with God Almighty. God is awake to your situation. You might wonder if he knows all the details. Certainly, if God knew all the details, he wouldn't be taking so long, and he wouldn't be doing it that way. But he does. He knows all the details. And if you don't think he does, talk to him. Our trials bring us to our knees in prayer, don't they? He won't awake from slumber too late. Your God does not slumber. He says in verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." In all this, brothers and sisters, let's remember Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, and now this morning we're talking about the uncomfortable, the frustrating, the painful things. And we know that all things work together for good. Now here's the condition. To them that love God. Does God have your heart? Does God have your love? If he does, we have a promise here that is tremendous. We know, you know that whatever you're going through, all those things are going to work together for good. Because you love God and you're the called according to his purpose. What a promise. Do you have faith? Do you know that all things, God is working it out. He has a plan. He is making something beautiful. He'll make beauty out of ashes. And remember also there, we who are the called according to his purpose, not our purpose, not according to our blueprint is the answer going to come, because God has a purpose over and higher and above ours. Our ways are not his ways. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. And so it's according to his purpose. It's to them that love him, and it's according to his purpose that all these things are being worked out for good. I'll admit I haven't always felt that way. This past week, the week before, I'm human like you. But I'm reminding us this morning, and I'm reminding myself of what the scripture teaches and of the God that we have and where our help comes from. Verse 5, there in Psalm 121, "The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, thy keeper, thy protector." You know, God can keep a nation, verse 4. But God can keep you, verse 5. The same shepherd that could shepherd a whole nation in verse 4 can shepherd you and me and you and you in verse 5. He's concerned about nations, but I'll tell you this morning, he is concerned about individuals. And he's concerned about you. in every one of us. In verse 4, he that keepeth Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is thy, your keeper, your protector. Sometimes the best doctor will look at you, or will look at your loved one and say, I really, and if they're honest, some of them will say, I really can't explain your symptoms. I don't know what to say about them. And I need to be honest with you, patient, I don't know what to do. So here's a specialist to go to. And sometimes that works, and sometimes God works that way. But God looks at you in your moment of deepest hurt. And he looks at you and he says, dear child, I'm the creator. Your help comes from me, the Lord who made heaven and earth. I am the creator. Now he's looking at you, and he knows every heart, he knows every hurt underneath your skin. I've made you. I know everything about you, physically, emotionally, mentally. Dear child, I'm not sleeping. I never sleep. I don't even get groggy. I don't get weary. And dear child, I'm at work. I know it hurts now, but I'm at work. And I want you to trust me. At times, I'll even carry you. Because I know you're getting so weary you can hardly walk anymore. At those times, I'll carry you. Dear child, I want you to trust me. Dear hurting child, I love you. You're my dear child. There's a verse back in Deuteronomy. It might seem obscure, but it's about my wife's favorite. And she's been clinging to it. Deuteronomy 33. Second to last chapter in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 2. That's not it. Verse 27. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath, when you feel you can't bear your burdens anymore, underneath are the everlasting arms. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He has everlasting arms to lift you up, to love you. Deuteronomy 33, 27. Maybe you need to turn to that sometime. I really appreciated Brother Randy. He led number 40. That touched my heart this morning. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. And number 50, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, what a blessedness, what a peace is mine. Leaning on the everlasting arms, oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way. Leaning on the everlasting arms, oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord is thy shade. God protects those that he keeps, but he also encourages, he also refreshes, he also cheers up. I am thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day. The heat, the dryness, the trouble that can bring, the moon by night, the cold, the moisture by night, that can make one shiver and get sick. I am thy shade upon thy right hand. Charles Stanley, I heard him on the radio a month or so ago, and he talked about a really, really difficult time in his life where God was doing something, but Charles had no idea what, and his ministry had ground to a halt, and Charles Stanley wanted to preach. He wanted to teach, and he didn't know what was going on. I did not hear details from him that evening in that evening broadcast, but something was going on in his life that everything was grinding to a halt. The things that he had energy for and enthusiasm for the Lord, was not happening. And he was not preaching at the moment. And he was getting desperate, and he was very, very discouraged. And one day he took a walk despite the weather. I think it was raining. And he had his Bible in his coat. And he finally cried out to the Lord, Lord, I need to hear from you. I need a word from you. And he opened his Bible, and he opened it to Psalm 121, the Lord is thy keeper. My help cometh from the Lord. And Charles received that encouragement. He received that refreshing. He received that special word. Sometimes my wife calls them God moments, when a certain scripture just jumps out and meets a need. Charles received that in Psalm 121. My help cometh from the Lord. My Lord does not slumber. My Lord does not sleep. He's a shade by my right hand. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Literally means to keep from all evil. All evil, as Brother George said, it includes sin here. Evil is sin. Evil of trouble. Evil that comes in the physical realm, or the emotional realm, or it could be spiritual. I believe God even keeps his children from doing evil. Please hear me out on that. I know we have a free will, and I know we have choice. We have the ability to choose, and sometimes we don't choose right. Sometimes we choose wrong. But I believe God knows our hearts, and when our heart is with God, but there is a temptation that would definitely do us in, I believe God keeps us from that evil many times. It's his extended grace into your life and mine that we don't do certain things that would be to our detriment. That would be to our weakening and our spiritual hurt and even physical hurt. He shall preserve thy soul. At the end of verse 7, it is the spiritual life that God is even the most concerned about. He is very concerned about what you're going through physically, emotionally, mentally. But above all, God is the keeper of your soul, which actually is your mind, will, and emotions. God is concerned about your mind. He is concerned about your will, how you're feeling, your emotions. He's concerned about all that. The soul is the real man and the real woman. And your soul is precious to God. 1 Peter, grab a couple verses here from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Christ Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The trial you're going through, your soul is more precious than gold to your Lord and your God. Verse 8 of Psalm 121, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God will preserve. God will keep you for his eternal purposes. At home, in travel, as this is, a lot of people think of this as a traveler's psalm. At home, in travel, abroad, going out while you live, coming in when you die, in life, in death. Jesus said at the end of that great commission, lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. Kept through trials, kept through dangers, kept through unpleasant circumstances now, and kept through perfect bliss of eternity then. The promises of our God. The end of Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The psalmist was able to say that after talking about the valley of the shadow of death. God is our keeper. God is our preserver. He's our protector now and through it all, right into eternity. I leave with you a closing verse. Job 23, verse 10. And I don't really need to tell you this morning how Job suffered more than any of us did. But the Bible says there, and it declares that Job still has faith. He is still trusting God. Listen to what he says. But he that is God knoweth the way that I take. When he, God, hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Praise the Lord.